May I speak in the name of God, whose Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. He is out of his mind, they said. Fix your eyes on the things that are permanent, not on the things that are temporary, says the writer of the Corinthians that you have just read. But this morning I would want us to reflect quite briefly on the passage in Genesis. And as I was just reflecting upon this passage this week, something happens, as it always usually happens nowadays. You think about something, and then all of a sudden on your telephone or your mobile phone, on your social media, the same things just pops up, and you just wonder, how did they know about that? Well, this week I was just thinking about this, and something popped up on my telephone, and it was someone who had put up one of these things, memes they put up on social media, and it said, "Are you tired of doing your laundry? Blame Adam and Eve." I was like, "Wow, that's quite interesting." Did they know? I was thinking about this passage, but there we are. Well, the context of the reading in Genesis is God had created the heavens and the earth. He had created human beings and placed them in this garden. I mean, the creation narrative itself, we have it in Genesis chapter 1 and also in Genesis chapter 2. But it was such an amazing thing that God had done, creating the heavens and the earth, the human beings, and placing them in this garden. But God had given them one simple command, not to eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Well, fast forward, we do know that they actually did eat of that fruit, isn't it? And this is where we find this passage. God himself, who had created the heavens and the earth, coming down and just having a stroll the evening, the cool of the day, walking around, just looking around. And I would want to think that probably this was not the first time that he had done this. Maybe he had done it quite a couple of times. But we do see God walking in this earth. What a lovely image. What a beautiful picture. An incredible image of the relationship between God and his creation, the creator and the created. An image that shows us that he is not a God who is removed from his creation. He is not a creator who created the world and then just disappeared and went back to heaven, to his glory. But a God who is involved, a God who is engaged, a God who still is in his creation. Not a creator who created the world and then retreated forever into his comfortable heavenly place. But the passage carries on to tell us that on this particular visit, probably he had done many, probably this was his maiden visit, but I would want to think he had been doing this for quite a while. Adam and Eve, who God had created and placed in this amazing garden and this in this amazing place, on this particular visit, as they heard God coming and God walking around, they went and they hid. And why did they hide? Well, it goes back to what my telephone was telling me, you know, that bit about doing laundry, remember that bit? Of course, they say they were naked, and that's why they hid. They felt ashamed. They needed to protect themselves, at least be dignified. But how had they got to this place? And this is where it becomes quite interesting and quite important for us as a Christian people. They hid because of the consequence of breaking the command that God had told them. Because God immediately said to them, "Did you do what I asked you not to do?" And of course they had. And this is just but one of the consequences of sin. It tears apart. It alienates. It brings shame. And it makes people to look for remedies that are only but sticking plasters. I mean, for real, they went and just hid among the trees, you know. I don't know what their strategic plan was for the long term, of course. But for this time, they just hid among the trees. For how long had they planned to hide from God? Of course, we do not know how long God's visit lasted. Maybe he was just coming to stroll for 5-10 minutes. But of course, we do not know whether there was time at that particular time. Maybe his visit was much longer. But for how long had they planned to be hiding? Sin alienates. It brings shame. We all have had moments of shame in our lives. And some of these moments are moments that are particularly just known to us. We might have never had the courage to share those moments with anyone. And as we have seen with Adam and Eve, they ran, they hid. And we could easily identify with this moment, because at those moments of shame, sometimes all we want to do is just the earth to open up and swallow us. Something to happen to take us away from the glaring eyes of those who have just witnessed what has happened. And that's exactly what Adam and Eve did. But for them, it was because of sin, the consequence of sin. But as they are hiding, God does something incredible. Yes, they had done that which God had asked them not to do, but God does not storm off. He does not say, "Well, guys, well, you have really messed this thing up." God seeks them out. And God says, "Where are you?" I found that statement quite interesting. I mean, God created this place, you know, but he was just asking those guys, "Where are you?" Of course, he would have located them if he wanted to. But God asked them, "Where are you?" His nature is always to seek, to go after, not to abandon, not to cast out, not to cast away. And I suppose this is part of the reason as to why in the gospel reading, you know, people look at Jesus Christ and they say, "He is out of his mind. What is he doing? God, you're out of your mind. These people, you give them literally everything." I mean, I do not know how old Adam and Eve were when they were in the garden, but I mean, they had literally everything. All they had to do was obey this command. They didn't. But God still went after them. God still sought them out. "Where are you?" One songwriter, Corey Asbury, wrote a song that he called it "Reckless Love." And he describes the love of God as a love that is reckless. Reckless not in the sense that it is not responsible, but reckless in the sense that it goes far and beyond what human beings could ever imagine. And part of the song that he writes, he says, the overwhelming love of God, it is never ending. This love, it chases me down. It fights till I'm found. It leaves the 99. I myself, I could not have earned it. I do not deserve it. But still, this reckless love of God, it seeks me out. And he says, there is no shadow that God will not light up. There is no mountain that he will not climb to come after me. There is no wall that he will not kick down, no lie he will not tear down, coming after me. Do you see why they were saying he's out of his mind? This is the nature of God. Adam and Eve, having done this thing that was so difficult for us to understand, making us do our laundry today so many years later, but still, God sought them out. I don't know where you are in your life today or where you feel you are. I don't know what it is that you might be running from, hiding from. God loves you, and God is asking, where are you? I do find the next bit of the passage quite interesting. When God starts calling them out and asking them to come forward, quite quickly, Adam begins to defend himself. It is the woman that you gave me. It was all good until she came around. Haven't we have those words? Haven't we have had those words so many times? It is so and so very good at pointing fingers, blaming one another. And it does remind me of another song. Please don't go Google this. By another guy who sang a song and he said, "It wasn't me." Don't Google that. Blaming one another. And in a sense, Adam was blaming God, saying, "God, it is the woman that you placed here." The woman goes ahead to blame the serpent. And poor serpent, you know, we do hear that, know that the serpent did say some words to Eve. But at this point, the serpent has no opportunity, no chance to say anything. But the key thing is just blaming one another. And of course, we go back to the gospel reading where Jesus Christ tells us of that incredible story and tells us that the kingdom divided cannot be able to stand. Adam and Eve pointing at each other. Divided, they were not able to stand. But again, we see the love of God, the incredible love of God. That God goes ahead to say these very difficult words. Of course, we refer to them as a curse. But at the very end of these words that God says, he gives a promise of hope, a promise of deliverance, a promise of salvation, a promise to put an end to all these lies and deception. A promise to bring reconciliation forever. The person who was to bring this to an end is the offspring of the woman, Mary's child, Jesus Christ. He is the one who provides a lasting solution, not a sticking plaster. As opposed to the twigs to cover themselves, twigs that would wither and dry, and they would have to go back there and get some more twigs to cover themselves. Jesus Christ provides the cross. Fixing our eyes on the things that are permanent, not temporary, as Paul says. The cross takes away our shame, our guilt. And the cross reveals the love of God to us. That regardless of how far we think we might have fallen, regardless of where it is that we are hiding ourselves, this day, this morning, God is saying, "Where are you? I have provided the cross of Jesus Christ for your salvation. Do not hide among those trees. Come and embrace this tree that brings salvation to all. Where are you? God is seeking you this morning.